Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we pray, the door of heaven is opened. The Father is moved when words of faith are spoken. You know that God isn't moved by your need. He doesn't just meet everybody's needs, but he's moved by faith. That gets his attention. So we preach a lot about faith. Well, praise the Lord. You have your Bible. Gary, you might want to take your electronic Bible here. I appreciate all the benefits that we have with electronics. I had one of you correct me and chastise me at the back door one time when we had a guest speaker here. And I was on my smartphone the whole time. And they said, Pastor, this is so distracting. You on your phone during the whole service while that preacher was preaching. I said, I'm so sorry. I was taking notes. You know, I was reading the Bible and cutting and pasting, and electronics help us to be able to do that. Everybody wave your Bible or your smartphone or something. Yeah, I see a lot of light out there. This is the word of the Lord. God left us his book. He came to earth, and then he left us his book so that we can hear his words that were spoken. And not only his words, but the words of the prophets, the book of the law, the prophets, and our new covenant. Hallelujah. Well, I want to bring you a word in the series. I've been preaching about growing in God. We started out talking about the fact that God has a purpose. Father God has a business. We want to get familiar with his business and be about the Father's business. And it's building the kingdom. And it's about souls. And we have to take an interest in that. That's important, an important aspect of our lives if we want to grow. Then last week we talked about God's family. God has a family. And he wants us to serve one another. Put my screens up, if you would, back there, guys. Because last week, I want to commend you for signing up for a lot of our teams that need help. Next week, when we go into our two services, we needed help on some of our serve teams that serve the services. And so many of you stepped up to the plate. Hallelujah. We're going to have fun. You're going to grow in that team. You're going to make friends in that team. And guess what? I'd rather be holding the door in the house of the Lord than working in the big mansion of some wicked. You're in the house of the Lord. And God sees what you do when you serve in his house, without a doubt. Okay, electronics. You know, we had a lightning strike in here last Sunday. And I want to just thank my tech team for getting most of everything back operating. We still don't have the cross up and operating, but just cooked a lot of things, and we'll get it all back shortly. But I want to put up these serve teams again for you, because those of you that maybe weren't here or maybe you're still thinking about it, get plugged in. And watch your life grow, because the Bible says faith without works is
dead.
It's dead. You know, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith with my works. You know, works don't save you, but they're very important to God, because we want to be about the Father's business.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Okay, one of the verses as we talk about this week, God's language. We're talking about prayer, but I don't want to just talk about, I mean, we could talk about prayer for the rest of this year and still not understand it fully. But I want to talk about prayer that draws you closer to God, because I believe that's one of the benefits of talking in prayer, because I believe prayer is not just talking to God, but it's listening to God and hearing his voice. You have that kind of communication with anybody, and you're going to grow in relationship with them. We need communication with God if we're going to grow in relationship with Him. So a year ago, we put up on the screen 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we said we're going to just start responding to God's invitation that says, if my people, that's us, people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, He said, then I'll hear you from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. So we, a year ago, we upped our prayer time. In church, we started an hour of prayer on Wednesdays and Fridays, prayer and fasting. And we just upped our time of prayer and said, God, you promised this. You know, hear our prayers from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. And that's a powerful verse of Scripture. Where are we at, guys? Are we going to do it or not? Okay, maybe I'll come back to that. I want to put those serve teams back in front of you because sometimes I think you got to see it in order to take a hold of it and make that decision. But in that scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, imagine God saying, I'll hear you from heaven. Man, when I pray, I don't want to just be praying to the air, to the wind. I want to be praying to God. I want God to hear me, and the best way I know He hears me is if He answers me. I believe that the Bible clearly says God is spirit. God is a spirit, and if we want to worship Him, if we want to pray to Him, we need to pray to Him in spirit. So I thank God in this church, we're not afraid to say we are a spirit-filled, full gospel, tongue-speaking church. Because the Bible says clearly that tongues, and I'm going to say an interpretation of tongues, tongues is a language of God, a language that God understands. And by the way, it's a language the devil doesn't understand. So we can talk personally with God in tongues. Amen. And then God can interpret it back to our understanding. Those are two gifts of the 9 manifestation gifts of God. And I believe those are two that are particularly for us to grow in our relationship with God. You want me to restart this on my end here? We'll just let it go. Never mind. Well, I wanted to show you this picture, but we can't. So I have to describe it. It's a picture of a little boy, the age of my little Lukey, kneeling down by a bed and praying alongside of his dog. And the dog's got his eyes closed, looking up to heaven. You saw that. I've shown it to you before. He's got his paws up there. He's looking like this. And I showed this to Lukey yesterday, and he just looked. I said, that's Kai. Because the dog looks just like our dog at home. And that's you. He goes, no, not me. I said, well, that's how you pray. Because he's only recently started closing his eyes when he prays. We always pray and we join hands and you know, with our family. And he's usually looking around. But recently he starts imitating Pop-Pop more. Now he closes his eyes and he peeks and closes his eyes and he peeks. But this little picture here reminds me of a powerful scripture in Matthew 18:19 that says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done of our Father that's in heaven. The power of agreement. That's why corporate prayer, say that with me, corporate prayer is so important. When we come together, there needs to be times when we are in one accord praying together. When it's time to pray, let's all pray. I mean, close your eyes and just say a few words. And we want to get in one accord. We want there to be a corporate anointing. I've seen people get healed and delivered here in this sanctuary all the way on the back row because of corporate prayer. And so let's talk about prayer. I'm asking the question, what is prayer? And I'm just going to give you an ABC. A, it's talking and listening to God. Talking and listening to God. Don't forget that. Because for a lot of years in my life, I talked in my prayer time and felt pretty good about myself. Because I could talk, I could pray for 1 hour, you know, nonstop, talking to God. And one time, I heard my Heavenly Father say, "Son, shut up." No, he didn't say that. He said it very respectfully. But he said, "Listen, listen, listen." And I started discovering that I needed to spend concerted time, extended time, listening. When I get up in the morning, you know, I like quietness. I'm always the first one up in my house, and I like the quietness, you know, of just knowing everybody else is still quiet. Nothing's happening yet, but I can get alone with God and listen. And God instructs me in that time of quietness. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. That's a good number, right? Here's what God says. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." Amen. We get a call upon him, and he's going to answer us. "You have not because you ask not." Call upon him. He says, "I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you knoweth not." God's got answers that we want and we can't get on our own. And when we pray, I believe that we can expect. I want you to expect God to answer. Now, he doesn't answer everything that I ask him. And sometimes when he answers, I'm not ready to hear it. And it takes me a while to come around. But God's patient with me and with you. And he'll just keep bringing you that answer, keep bringing that to you. He won't let you get away with just ignoring that instruction. So the second thing I'm going to give you, just in kind of an introduction, is when we pray to God, we're making requests, not commands. There's one verse in the Bible that says, "Command ye him," but that's got a context. We know that we want to walk in the authority of our faith in God. I like to command the devil. "Devil, I'm not ignorant of your devices. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my path." I love that. I like to tell the devil where to go, because that place was made for him and his angels, not for us. But we want to command sickness in the name of Jesus. But we make our requests to God. Even Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Listen, Daddy knows best. There's times when we're praying amiss and we don't even know it. We're asking God in the wrong way and we don't know it. That's when you just want to pray in the Holy Ghost and let God intercede on behalf of his perfect will. Philippians 4 and verse 6, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving." Here it is. "Present your requests to God." That's why I say we have a relationship with God, that we're saying, "God, you know, I want to know your heart. I want to know your will for me. I want to follow you. I'm not trying to ask you to bless my mess. I'm asking you, lead me in a way that pleases you." So I want to say this to you, church, as we're talking about in this series about growing in God, I believe that prayer is committed to developing relationship with God. Think about that. We don't just pray because we've got things that we need and we're trying to get from the hand of God. But that's why the Bible says clearly that we're to seek his face. We're just to have a desire to know him. A desire to know him. Okay, guys. Did you pull something out of my computer? Why did you do that? This guy's trying to second guess me. I'm pressing the buttons right here. Can't use this anymore, right? Did you know that? Give them a big hand. By the way, you can go on your smartphone and all these verses are right there in the notes. Some of you have that. So I want to say, if I'm going to say the third thing, and I'm just saying this as kind of an introduction here today. Prayer is personal and intimate. In fact, turn in your Bible. Let's go. I got a hard book here. To Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, in three or four distinct places in the New Testament, he specifically answered the question on how to pray. Master, teacher, teach us how to pray. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you pray. Okay, Matthew 6, and let's go down to verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So prayer is not to be seen. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. I like that word. You know, sinners are pagans, heathens. You know, I think it says in the King James. For they think they'll be heard because of their many words. You know, imagine that there are people that don't even believe in God that pray. I'm not sure who they're praying to, but if they're not praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, to the one and only true God, you know, what a waste to be praying to a graven image or some other God when you can be praying to the creator of the universe who says, call upon me and I will hear and I will answer. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But this is how to pray. And then he leads us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. So when we pray, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. You know, when you just talk about that verse or that prayer alone, thy kingdom come in earth as is in heaven, that when we pray, what we're literally opening the door to, just like Sharon saying, we're opening the door for the culture of heaven to come to earth, to come to this earth, and then through us to come to the earth around us. We're making a difference in the world around us when we pray. Hallelujah. Prayer brings heaven's influence to earth. Oh, I love that. But I have a pattern for prayer that I want to go over with you today. And I really believe that prayer needs to be more freestyle than programmatic. So I'm not going to give you a formula and say, this is the way it's got to be done. No, I want you to freestyle. Come on, Jesse, we know what it means to freestyle, right? Amen? When you can just worship God with an instrument or with your voice, just as the Spirit leads. And so, but I want to give you a pattern because I believe that there is a protocol to enter the presence of God. We do it whenever we have a praise and worship service. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So I believe that the best way to start talking to God in your prayer is praise and thanksgiving. Even if you just say that, Lord, I praise you and I give you thanks. And think about something or two or three that you can thank him for. I mean, that's an entry point. We come into his presence. It's a protocol of coming into the presence of somebody that's important to us, saying thank you. thank you for what you have done. You know, so I'm going to start there. But remember, recently we talked about the difference between praise and worship. Praise is when you talk to God about what he's done, but worship is more intimate when you're saying, I thank you. I mean, when God opens the door to where you can come in, well, thank you for that back. You thought it was a flash drive. Yeah. So you don't know what those things are. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So worship. You know, the actual word in the Greek, it's proskuneo. It means to be face down on your face before God. So sometimes, in fact, every week when we're praying together here, those of you that are here, you see me face down on the carpet. And sometimes I want to get lower. I want to somehow get lower. But it feels so good to worship, to humble yourself before God. Worship is something that recognizing that God is a greater power in your life than what you are. You know, we're living in a world that just walks in such arrogance and such pride. You know, the devil was an angel, got thrown out of heaven for one sin, pride. And just about anything that we do that dishonors God is rooted in pride. I'm going to tell you, you go your own way, it's pride. So worship, humbling yourself before God. And then on my pattern for prayer, confession. I think confession is important to get into. Oh boy. Yeah, remove, right? Okay, we'll be back to the hard copy. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This chapter actually starts out in verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. We'll come back to that, but I want you to slide down to verse 9. Verse 9. Then Jesus, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So here's Jesus about to contrast for us the prayer of two different, very different people. A religious Pharisee who knew the word of God and should know how to pray well, and a sinner, a tax collector. So here's what happened. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Oh, wow, he's in so much trouble, isn't he? Praying like that to God, you know? He says, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. He's a tither. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Here's what Jesus said. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, pointing to the tax collector, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Here it is. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility attracts God. How can we be humble before God? Here it comes. Here's the big point here on this part of the message. By being humble before one another. By giving honor to one another. You know, next week, we're going to be starting two services, and I was inspired by God to do this, particularly to help those that have not come back yet to church feel more comfortable. And, you know, I get it that we don't need to wear masks for ourselves. When I put this mask on to approach you and talk to you, I'm not concerned about myself. I haven't had any sickness, and I thank God for that. And really, my life is so much in God's hands, the way I feel, is if it's my time to go, then take me home, Lord Jesus, you know. I have signed that DR thing, you know, do not resuscitate me, you know, when it's my time. Say some nice things at my celebration of life, but it'll be my time, so I'm not concerned. But I want to honor you. Some of you, from a medical standpoint, are at a higher risk than I am for any number of reasons. You've been through some stuff. You know, I concern myself for my daddy because, you know, he's been through heart surgery and all. But as God would have it, you know, he went through COVID at 92 and came out on the other side. Thank you, Jesus. But it still places him in a high risk, you know. So I wear the mask to honor and respect others. And listen to me, do not debate this issue. We are bigger than that. Do not debate the vaccine or no vaccine issue. Stop that. We're bigger than that. You know, I think probably about half of our congregation has gotten the vaccine and maybe half hasn't. You know, my wife has gotten the vaccine. My mother-in-law has gotten the vaccine. I haven't had time to get the vaccine. But I don't have an issue with it. And if you do, get on your knees and pray, okay? Because we're not living our lives by these earthly things. Do what God instructs you to do, but leave other people alone. Honor and respect other people. You know, if you want to get my dander up, then you pick on one of these young ones. Young believers, you know, or widows, or people that are more vulnerable, you know. And then I come out of my pastoral shell, you know, and I come out swinging, you know. I've always been wired that way. I grew up, you know, through school. My early years, I was small and picked on. And then one day I was flipping through a magazine and I saw a Charles Atlas commercial. And I decided I wanted to become Charles at last. I started pumping iron, and believe it or not, at one time in my younger life, my kids said, Daddy was a muscle man, and I was a fighter. And you know why I fought? I fought to protect others that got picked on. That's the only time I got in fights. And I think, spiritually speaking, I feel the same way. I get my spiritual dander up when I see people that should know better, Pharisees that have been in church all their life, you know, picking on people. Let me tell you, when young people come to church and their hair looks a little different or they're wearing those holy jeans, you know, let it go. Aren't you glad they're in the house of the Lord? In fact, you wear those holy jeans, my dad will offer to buy you a new pair. The problem is you buy them with the holes in. They cost more, you know, with the holes in. They're specially cut. I've got some jeans where I actually wore the holes in them. Hallelujah. They're authentic. You got it. But listen, I'm camping on this a little bit because church, there's never been a time where we have to become more inclusive in a world that wants to cancel people. We are not going to cancel sinners in our midst. We're not going to cancel people that believe differently than we do. We're bigger than that. You walk your own faith out with fear and trembling and love and forgive one another. 50% of you. So next week, you know, we're going to have more room to social distance and that. And that doesn't make anybody less spiritual. But what we want to do is we want to open this house and make everybody feel comfortable to come in and worship and hear the word of the Lord and let everybody handle the mask at whatever level. But what we've been saying is, you know, wear a mask when you approach people because you honor and respect them. I want us to get a little better at that, because I know that there are still people concerned about that. And if you if you've got concerns about, you know, the mass, just do it as unto the Lord, you know. And so I know you don't all agree with me, but I don't care. I really don't care. You work out your own salvation. Psalms 26, verse 2. Listen to this. Psalms 26, verse 2. David says, "Put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and affections." That's what God does to us. He checks our motives and our affections. And I'm going to tell you, when we have a strong critical feeling about this, you know, check your motives. You know, it doesn't matter. This is so small. It doesn't matter. And it's going to go away. It's a season. It's going to pass. Amen? It's going to pass. We'll get through it. So I think another element in my pattern of prayer is intercession, which is the needs of others, and petition, which is my needs. And I always like to, in my prayer time with the Lord, pray for others first. You know, even when I have a definite, immediate need in my life, you know, I think the best way to get God's attention is to think about somebody else with the need. When Job prayed for his friends, then God turned his captivity. You pray for somebody else, you do unto others, and then God does unto you. And so intercession, we stand in the gap for others. That's why I like to open the altar and say, stand in for somebody. Because when you do that, you get God's attention, then he's ready to hear your petition for you. And by the way, when you make petition, you want to be persistent in your petition. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Oh, we might already be there. We're there. Yeah, so Jesus tells this parable that in a certain town there was a judge who didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. There was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." She had a problem. She needed the judge to move and act on. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." Now this is what will shock you. Jesus said, now listen to what the unjust judge says. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" You know, God is very interested in us being persistent enough in our faith to just keep asking. You know, and yet sometimes, you know, we can get a religious spirit that says, "Oh, you only have to ask once and then just believe." Well, I think you should believe. Even when you ask once, you keep believing, but you ask again and you keep asking. Because I'll show you the scripture that bears that out. He says, "To those that cry out day and night, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However," and however means even if they don't get justice quickly, "when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistent faith on the earth?" You know, and that's really what's important to God. When he comes, will he find persistent faith on the earth? If you back up a few pages in your Bible to Luke 11, this is one of those chapters where the first verse starts out, the disciples looked at Jesus, they were recognizing his prayer life, and they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. And here, Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to them. And then he told a story. In verse 5, he said, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the friend inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Jesus said, 'I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because of his friendship, yet because of his importunity," it says in the King James, it says boldness in some other translation, "because of his importunity, he will get up." You know what importunity means? unreasonable persistence. You get unreasonable audacity with God. You get unreasonable. And God, you got to come through. And that's when Jesus gives this familiar verse. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. You know, if you look that verse up and that passage up in the Amplified, it says it this way. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. You know, knock and keep on knocking, because whoever asks and keeps on asking receives. Whoever seeks and keeps on seeking, whoever knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. You know, imagine that that's what God is looking at in us. And that's why I believe the Bible says pray without ceasing. Just build a relationship with God that involves talking to Him. Not just designated time for you're on your knees, but bring Him into every aspect of your life. And that brings us to the point I want to make is praying in the Spirit. You know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation gifts of the Spirit, are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And of those nine, the last two mentioned there are tongues and interpretation of tongues. You know, praying in tongues is it's a powerful tool. The Bible says that, you know, we don't know how to pray sometimes, but the Spirit gives us, actually intercedes for us when we pray in tongues. I think that we need to practice that tongue. And it doesn't have to be at the end of your prayer time. It can be at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. Anytime that I find myself getting more fervent in my prayer, I just immediately shift into tongues. You know what I discovered? While I'm speaking in tongues, God is bringing answers to my understanding. Literally, what I believe is He's exercising the gift of interpretation of tongues so that He can pray through me and interpret it to my understanding. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying and supplicating in the Spirit. That word supplication is an interesting word because it means, again, incessant, strong, continued, incessant pleadings until the prayer is answered. So praying in the Spirit gives you an opportunity to just pray longer and pray maybe with more fervency. I find when I get more fervent in my tongue, then I start getting other dialects in that tongue. It starts coming out in different ways. And when I start, you know, commanding my situation and commanding that sickness in tongues, it sounds different from what I've heard before. And so I believe that there's a lot more room for us to grow praying in the Spirit. So I say pray freestyle. You know, don't get ritualistic. Don't get legalistic. Romans 8:26, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. We don't know how to pray, but makes intercession for us with groans that can't be uttered in words. I want to wrap this up, and I'm going to say my last encouragement here in this pattern of prayer. And again, this shouldn't be the last thing on how you pray, but it's listen. It's listen. You know, I'm reminded of the story in Luke 10 where Jesus came over to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha was busy waiting on Him, but Mary was sitting at His feet. I really believe that when we pray, you can picture yourself sitting at His feet. You're stopping your labor now of anything else. Now, prayer is labor, but you're sitting at His feet. You're listening. You're listening to what God might want to give you by way of instruction. You know, I'm going to tell you that in my Christian life, prayer is definitely the biggest understanding that I've ever had. It's the biggest biggest changing understanding in my Christian life has been prayer. And I'm still growing, constantly growing in how to have that relationship with God in prayer. I want to declare that over your life today, God gave me this to deliver to you. You know, there's so many ways that prayer can be taught. But I want you to think about, close your eyes right now if you would. I want you to think about growing in your relationship with God through prayer. Father, we want to know you. Father, we come to church to understand you. Lord, to pull away from the things that distract us from our Heavenly Father. And today, Lord, as I've delivered this, Lord, to your people, I pray, Father, that individually and uniquely, Father, bring understanding to each one of us as to how we can increase our walk with you and grow in our relationship with you through prayer. And Father, today we take authority over everything, every power that would try to keep us from intimacy with the God that we serve. And Lord, I pray that you'll remove those obstacles. And Lord, with an act of our own will, our desire, Lord, I pray, increase the effectiveness of our prayer life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.